Welcome to episode 2 of the BitCast. Today I'm going to discuss an RPG that was released in 2017 after years of being delayed. I'm talking about Persona 5, the latest in Atlus's Persona series. Persona games have been around since 1996, the first game being Megami Ibunroku Persona. It was a spin-off of the Shin Megami Tensei series, which is Japanese for True Goddess Reincarnation. The whole franchise is known for having its characters summon figures from every faith and mythology, and they use those to fight for order, or chaos, or even neither. While Shin Megami Tensei takes place in a post-apocalyptic setting, Persona drifts more into the urban fantasy genre, as most of its games take place in modern-day Japan. Games are also known for being thematically patterned after Carl Jung's psychology, notably the concepts of personas and shadows, being the versions of ourselves that we display for others and the versions of ourselves that we hide from others. The original Persona and the Persona 2 duology, Innocent Sin and Eternal Punishment, were well received by fans, but it was more popular in Japan than in the West. The series' popularity didn't really tank off in the US until Persona 3 in 2006 to 2007, based on release dates. This ultimately shaped the future of the franchise. It added a lot more of the popular elements, like the social simulator events, the calendar system, and a lot of the nuts and bolts that go into dungeon exploring. In 2008, Persona 4 came out, and it was even more popular. This led to the creation of several spin-offs and adaptations for both 3 and 4, like an anime adaptation, a fighting game, a dancing game, even some movies about Persona 3. And finally, in 2017, there's the release of Persona 5. The series has become so popular that they eventually dropped to the Shin Megami Tensei Super title after 4. In the past, they were referred to officially as Shin Megami Tensei, Persona 3, and things like that. But not anymore. It's just Persona 5. Persona can stand on its own now. While Persona 3 and 4 blended social simulator elements and dungeon crawling, 5 shook it up even further and added stealth gameplay. While you explore the dungeons in the game, you have to be careful not to get caught by the guards, or else you risk getting thrown out. And in a game where every day matters, you can't afford to get sloppy. Persona games have always been the thinking man's RPG. They can be played in any manner, really, but to get the most out of each game, one must take advantage of the different opportunities and the schedule that the game gives you. You have 1 year. Decide how to live it. The composer for Persona 5 is none other than Shoji Meguro. He's been with Atlus ever since 1996 and has composed music for other Shin Megami Tensei games, including the past Persona entries. Something else about the Persona series is that they often feature vocal soundtracks, so sometimes when you get into a fight, you can hear a singer in the background. For this game, they've employed a jazz soul singer by the name of Lin Inaizumi to provide the vocals. She hasn't had any experience doing video game music prior to Persona 5, so this is new territory for her. But Meguro and Inaizumi have become a winning combination. Persona 5's soundtrack is quite memorable, possibly my favorite in all the Persona games I've played. Today's favorite songs in Persona 5 are Price, Blooming Villain, and Willpower. Honestly, I'm in love with the whole soundtrack right now. Price is the background music that plays in the third dungeon of the game. It incorporates bagpipes and bongos in an unusual combination, and it's the first dungeon theme that's actually exciting. And when I say bongos, I mean like the heist bongos. Whenever you watch like an old school heist movie, you would hear bongos in the background. The context for the song is that you're sneaking into a bank, so it really manages to evoke that feeling. Blooming Villain is the standard boss battle theme. It plays at the end of each dungeon. The game is divided into a few story arcs where the main characters are working to take down a corrupt official figure who's abusing their power, and you're going into the dungeons because, well, it's a lot of psychology talk, but the point is you're fighting the evil versions of the different corrupt political figures, educational figures, gangsters, anything. And you face off against a distorted, monstrous version of those people at the end of the dungeon, and Blooming Villain is the background music for your confrontation. It's really built up just how bad each of these people are, so the song is really climactic, like you're finally giving those guys a piece of your mind after several hours of exploring their dungeons. The dungeons got a little long for me in this game, so it was really cathartic to let him have it. Willpower is an empowering musical theme. It plays whenever a new ally is unlocking the ability to summon their persona for the first time, and when they're defying the corrupt authority figure standing before them. Persona 3 and 4 both had central themes. Respectively, Persona 3 was about the acceptance of death and the acknowledgement that, yes, everyone who's born must die, and we must accept it. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. In Persona 4, we had to learn about the willingness to face the ugly truths of the world. Instead of hiding behind convenient lies, we had to be honest with ourselves and be honest about the world around us. Persona 5 also has a theme. It's about rebelling against corrupt authority. The main character is convicted of a crime he didn't commit, because the true culprit was a political figure who abused his own connections to get away scot-free. Basically, the big dog throwing the little guy under the bus. The hero is then sent to live with a family friend in Tokyo, which is significant because 3 and 4 both took place in fictional cities. 5 takes place explicitly in Tokyo. Bits of Tokyo are embellished and fictionalized, but some of it still corresponds to the real Tokyo over in Japan. And he meets a variety of characters who also have to put up with a society that neglects them and favors those who would exploit others, typically adults who would exploit children in different ways. You have the Yakuza, who are basically extorting money from children. You have a gym teacher who physically abuses his male students and sexually harasses his female students, and all these people are getting away with it because they're in positions of power where everyone's willing to look the other way or they don't want to cause a ruckus. It was actually considered a bit of a radical plotline in Japan because of the cultural differences. They kind of prefer order and keeping your nose out of other people's businesses. And, of course, respect for the elder generation, no matter what they do. When the main character encounters a mystical world and a shape-shifting cat, he becomes a phantom thief. And with his phantom thief powers, he can go in and out of this special world called the Metaverse. He can summon mythical being, his persona, and they fight together. Juggling a social life and a thief life, the main character forms a phantom thief team with other like-minded individuals, and they begin stealing the hearts of the corrupted people in power, making them into better people. Phantom thieves are set to reform society, but it wouldn't be a video game if there weren't some force to oppose them. And who would it be? Well, it wouldn't behoove me to spoil everything in the podcast now, would it? Now, to go along with the Phantom Thief motif, a lot of the music is kind of sneaky sounding. I mentioned those heist bongos earlier. You've got more a bit of an acid jazz sense in a lot of the music in this game, while Persona 4 had a bit of a J-pop thing going for them for a lot of it. So it shows that they're really committed to this Phantom Thief premise that they've set up. A lot of the gameplay, a lot of the important terminology and the plot, and even the music, are all linked to this idea of living a double life as phantom thieves. In all honesty, this game even though I've only played it a few months ago, it might actually be one of my favorites. Within my top 10, even. Probably closer to 10 than to 1, but still. There was a remake of Persona 4, and it was called Persona 4 Golden. A very well put together game, jam-packed with all kinds of features and events, different things you could do. On a technical level, I might argue that it's superior, but on a personal level, Persona 5 speaks to me more. Not only am I more fond of this game's soundtrack than the kind of J-pop approach that Persona 4 takes, it's just the subject matter speaks to me more, and I imagine a lot of people feel the same because, while it takes place in Japan in a year that's implied to be 2016, a lot of people in the West side of the world can probably relate, feeling like the people in power are ignoring them or exploiting them for their own gain. The whole struggle of the baby boomers versus the millennials. It really hit home for a lot of people. For me, it wasn't so much of a political stance, so much as the power to help other people who are suffering. I've always wanted to be able to help people like that. Ever since I've seen it done in other games, and just made me happy. And knowing that I could help people in games, I really want to be able to help people in real life. And this game just kind of speaks to that sensibility of mine. And not to give anything away, but Persona 5 does eventually show that you don't need Phantom Thief powers to change the world around you for the better. You don't need that to help people. You can still do that on your own as just a regular person. You just have to be willing to stand up, be willing to look at the world around you. One of the lessons of the game is that there is no real world. It's just what you make of it, which is a bit of an odd phrase, but I can sort of see what they're going for. We have the ability to affect the world around us. A lot of times it can be for the better, a lot of times it can be for the worse, but the point is, we have the ability to do that, and that's what this game tries to get across. It just kind of uses the whole Phantom Thief genre to get your attention. Persona games have always tried to speak to these deep, life-changing messages, and I know quite a few people who really had their life turned around because they played these games. And not right away, but eventually, after a while, the game just kind of sinks in, and they come out of it knowing a lot of things about themselves that they hadn't realized before, and try to better themselves because of it, or embrace certain aspects of themselves. People who tend to like Persona tend to really like Persona, because it's a game all about the psychology of people, so they get it. The writers get it. They know how people think and how to get to people. That's honestly a pretty good way to ensure more sales, if not for the fact that Atlus had to go bankrupt and were bought out by Sega, but it didn't interfere with them making Persona 5, one of their best-selling games of all time, even more than 4. But yeah, it's a really encouraging game for as dark as it can get, reminding us that we don't always have to put up with the hand that life deals us. Persona 5 is available for the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4, and I would highly recommend playing it.